he's giving an example. If there are thiqat, if there is a large pool of trusted reporters, a large pool of trusted reporters, they unanimously report the hadith in one way, with one statement. Then there is another trustworthy reporter who narrates the hadith identically, but he adds one statement. He adds a ziyada, one statement. One statement that is explanatory to the major statement. He adds one statement that explains the other agreed upon major statement. That is titled the ziyada of a thiqah, the increasement or the addition of a trusted reporter. The ziyada of a thiqah, the increasement of a trusted reporter. The Sheikh gives you an example, which is that of the moving of the finger in tashahud. That moving of the finger, the hadith is accepted by all. All the thiqat report the same hadith, but Zaid ibn Qudam, he reports, he adds this ziyada of a thiqah. And this person, this reporter, he is at the level of the sky in his trustworthiness. The scholars of hadith consider him at the level of the sky in his trustworthiness, meaning he is very trusted. So therefore, his increasement is taken as an acceptable ziyada. It is the ziyada, the increasement to the narration from a thiqah. And it's explanatory of the general hadith, because in it, he says that I saw them even from beneath their garments, they would be moving their finger in the tashahud.
زائد ابن قدام صحيح، بس زيادة ثقة بسموها زيادة ثقة مقبولة. صحيح
زيادة في
الحديث المرفوع.
Well, I'll read.
تكلم عن الحديث المرفوع.
ثقات plural, meaning many, have one narration, one agreed upon. One agreed upon narration or form. They agree upon. Can you do that part for me? Sure. And then there is a thiqah, meaning he is singular. This singular narrator, he increases an explanatory addition to the agreed upon form of the narration. So he adds something that explains this narration. Just like the example of moving the finger, they have the hadith, they all agree upon it, and the narration, it has this one statement, Zaida. Zaid ibn Qudama, one of the reporters, he increases this addition that I could see, and it was perceived that they were moving their finger in their tashahud. This increasement explains how the tashahud was performed. They all agree that there is tashahud, but and they all agree that the finger is put forward. This explains how the finger is used to indicate, the indication, the ishara. So it shows from his statement that even he could perceive it, or it could be perceived, the movement of their finger. So this is treated as it is called ziyada It is the increasement or addition of الثقة. It is the increasement of الثقة. نعم. تبغى تخرج منه سؤال؟ تفضل.
In this regarding this now, we see in the hadith in Sahih Muslim, where the Sahaba narrated with regards to sitting down and drinking. When you drink, to sit down and drink. And then the second part of the narration, as we know it, when he was asked about eating food standing, he basically said that the condition of this is far worse, and that one should put their finger into their throat to vomit it up. Now that part of the narration, from what I understand, was the addition of the Sahaba. Now, can the Shaykh explain, is the same thing, this addition, is that in the case of the Sahaba as well, or am I correct in that understanding?
The hadith of
in Sahih Muslim concerning sitting down and drinking.
بأمر الجلوس عند
الشرب.
نعم. هل في زيادة عن الطعام المأكل؟
طعام الشراب.
طعام.
ومن شرب.
هل في زيادة من؟
فليستقع.
نعم.
في
زيادة هي تعد زيادة ثقة. نعم. That is to be counted as a زيادة. Of a thiqa, the ziyada of the order to vomit up what was consumed is the ziyada of the sahaba, a ziyada of a thiqa.
Ziyada al thiqa tawaddah al hadith.
Explain it.
لا هذا قياس احنا هو يسأل عن الشرب. أما الطعام فسئل أنس فقال هو شر، فهذا فهم الصحابي يكون طريق لفهم الحديث، وأن النهي يشمل الطعام والشراب. نعم. نعم.
نعم. He mentioned food as well, and the brother you were asking if that was a qiyas, that was your سؤال. نعم. The brother, it is answering in his question the hadith, the extrapolation, it's explaining that as well it is something for food, as well it is for drink, as well as food, and this is an explanatory addition to the hadith of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
And both are forbidden.
Yes, both are forbidden.
طيب خلينا ننهي المنكر بعدين نفتح باب الأسئلة. المنكر، المنكر هو عكس الشاذ. قلنا الشاذ أن يخالف الثقة الثقات أو من هو أوثق منه. المنكر أن يخالف الضعيف الثقات، أن يخالف الضعيف الثقات، هذا هو المنكر.
The Shaykh now takes us to the next part, which is the hadith that is munkar, a hadith that is denounced. A munkar hadith is a hadith that is denounced. The munkar hadith is the opposite of the shadh hadith, in the understanding that the munkar hadith is when a weak reporter, a reporter who is being da'if, contradicts the words of authentically accepted or sahih reporters, verified or trusted sources. It is when a weak reporter, a da'if reporter, a person who the scholars consider as being a weak narrator, for whatever reason, it is when he contradicts a person who is deemed trustworthy or trusted. That is a hadith that is deemed munkar. It is a hadith that is denounced. So it's the narration from a person who goes against the authentic narration, or goes against a person who is authentic. It is the narration of a weak person that goes against the authentic reporting or narration of a strong reporter, of a thiqa, of someone who is strong and trusted. Is that clear?
الآن من له سؤال في موضوع اليوم فليتفضل.
The Sheikh is asking now for anyone who has a question regarding what we have been discussing today, you may put it forth.
Assalamu alaikum. Yeah, it's regarding the issue of ziyada. There's a hadith in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim narrated by Abu Huraira regarding the performance of wudu, in which he says that he washed the wudu and when he washed on his elbows he increased. However, the scholars have rejected this part in the sense of using it as a proof to increase in the wudu. So what is the situation?
هذا لا تسمى زيادة ثقة، هذا تسمى مدرجة، وسنأتي على شرحها في الغد إن شاء الله. هذه رواية مدرجة وليست زيادة ثقة.
The chef mentions that this type of narration, it is not to be seen as a narration of a ziyada of thiqa, rather it is a narration that is mudraja, which we will discuss in detail tomorrow inshallah.
Sure.
So that answer, that will be addressed tomorrow inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum Sheikh. You said that a hadith, a munkar hadith, is when a weak reporter contradicts a trustworthy person. So can you consider Sahabi has a weak reporter? And if yes,
what I didn't happened? Understand that, I'm sorry.
You didn't understand?
No.
Okay.
Can you consider a Sahabi a weak reporter?
Yeah, because you said that there's a...
هل يمكن أن يكون صحابيا راو فيه ضعف؟
صحابي؟ صحابي كلهم عدول.
نعم.
كلهم ثقات، كلهم عدول.
The Sahaba in their entirety are all considered thiqat and udul. They are all considered honored and trusted sources of narration.
So for the Munkar Hadith, is not the weak person is not a Sahabi.
The
weak person in the Munkar Hadith, that cannot be the Sahabi.
No, the Sahabi
ليس ضعيفا فكيف يخالف؟
لا. In the Munkar Hadith, the Munkar cannot be as the result of a Sahabi. It's by the narrators who narrate from him. Now, because the Sahabi cannot be deemed weak.
بارك الله فيكم. أفوان شيخ.
أعطيهم أنت تعرفهم
طبعاً. نعم.
أخبرني أحد من مشايخ اليمن بأن تعريف ابن حجر للشاذ، للرواية الشاذة، هي مخالفة المقبول لمن هو أوثق منه، فكأنه وسع التعريف. نحن قلنا مخالفة الثقة، فما
في خلاف إن شاء الله بين ما نقلت وبين ما ذكرت، فإن الثقة عندنا تتفاوت، هناك من هو أعلى في درجة الثقة ومن هو في أدنى درجات الثقة، وعندئذ يدخل الصدوق في هذا الاصطلاح ويكون في أدنى درجات الثقة، أدنى درجات الثقة، ويكون الحديث الحسن والصحيح من باب المقبول. نعم، ما في إن شاء الله مشاحة في الاصطلاح، لكن نحن نريد تقييد العبارات بارك الله فيكم حتى يفهم الأخوة. No.
The brother was mentioning that in the studies of the mashayikh of Yemen, they put forth the definition of al-Imam al-Hafidh ibn Hajr wherein he states that the hadith that is shad is a hadith wherein a person narrates, a reporter narrates or contradicts the words of an acceptable source of narration. Doesn't necessarily mean that that acceptable source of narration has to be trustworthy. Doesn't necessarily have to mean that that narrator is thiqah. The Sheikh answers by saying the two different definitions are similar. They are similar in the general context, since a person who is thiqah generally are of different levels, as we have explained before. So of the lower levels of the thiqah, there is the saduq, someone who is acceptable in narration from. So therefore the explanation and the definition of Ibn Hajr is included in the definition that we have used, and there is no disagreement with the two definitions.
Ahsan Allah alayk. Is the ziyada of a thiqah usually from one person or from more?
Is the ziyada?
Is it from usually from one person, or can you find examples where it's from a group of thiqah?
بالنسبة لزيادة الثقة هل يمكن يكون في أكثر من ثقة يروي هذه نفس الزيادة يعني؟
نعم. فإذا كان هناك أكثر من ثقة روى هذه الزيادة فعندئذ يصبح حديث يعني ليس من باب يعني هذا يؤكد صحتها ويؤكد ثبوتها أيضا عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ويعطي هذه الزيادة قوة
فتسمى زيادة
زيادة الثقة.
The Sheikh mentioned that if there is more than one person, more than one thiqa, who reports the same addition, it just establishes more concretely the agreement, this ziyada, this increasement of the thiqa. So therefore, it is still titled ziyada to thiqa, and it's more concrete in its explanatory meaning of the major statement that the ziyada is being, or the addition is being put into.
No.
Yes, Sheikh. My question is regarding the hadith of eating food, which is explained as something that you have to do while sitting. I understand that a sahaba was eating food while walking, and the Prophet ﷺ did not stop him from eating while walking. And this has been constructed as a permissible activity. Number one, I'm trying to understand the authenticity of that, the understanding that I have. And number two is, how do you reconcile that with the firm restriction?
So is the question, can you eat while walking?
Number one. And number two is... Same aspect of it, actually. Yeah. The same aspect of the question is, then how do you reconcile between, you know, it's prohibited while sitting, but it's allowed while walking? I mean, if there is some wisdom that we can understand from this.
بالنسبة احنا عارفين ان الحديث اللي ذكرتموه من اجل
الاكل
نعم الاكل لكن هو في رواية
انه يمشي
نعم فكيف نجمع بين هذين الحديثين
اولا اجمع نبين ان الامر او النهي الوارد في الاحاديث المرفوعة هو عن الشرب طبعا هذا خلاف معروف بين اهل العلم إن ورد أحاديث النهي ورد أحاديث إنه شربه واقفا وحمل العلماء الوقوف على الضرورة واضح أو في أماكن الازدحام والراجح تحريم الشرب قائم لأنه فيها نهي فيها أمر بالاستقاء وفيها زجر فهذه كلها تؤكد تحريم والله أعلم الآن هل يقاس الأكل على الشراب ورد عن بعض الصحابة أنهم سئلوا عن إيش الطعام الأكل فقال هو شر وهذا يحمل على حالة الوقوف ورد عن بعض الصحابة أنهم كانوا يأكلون وهم يمشون في عهد الرسول فيكون المشي غير الوقوف يكون المشي غير الوقوف واضح المشي وقوف لكنه خاص يعني كل مشي وقوف وليس كل وقوف مشي فيحمل كلام الصحابي على الوقوف الذي هو ليس في حالة المشي يعني واقف ثابت واضح تفضل
شكرا The Shaykh Hafidhahullah answers the question by saying, first we report and establish that the statement of the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is pertaining directly to the drinking while standing. His word did not include eating. So that's the first statement. And we note that the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there are two different reports. One report that at times he did drink while standing, and at others he prohibited drinking while standing and used to drink while sitting. We see that the scholars of fiqh, they have established that a person, that the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam legislated the ability to stand and drink when there is a need or due to excessive crowding. There is no room to sit or one is unable to sit. So that is the first issue. As for food, we see that there are other reports and other statements where there is a prohibition stated and that there is a dislike to a promise of a punishment for it. There is zajr as well for it. It's something where it is stated you should not do it and it is made disliked and abhorrible for you to do it. Then the Shaykh continued by saying, Can there be qiyas? Can there be qiyas that is made for drinking, the same ruling for drinking, as there is for eating? When we know, the Shaykh mentioned that the statement that there were Sahaba who were known as they were walking, they would be consuming food. And some, when they were asked about eating while standing, they said that eating while standing is something that is evil, shar. Then the Shaykh continued by saying, not every type of walking is a form of standing, meaning being upright. Every type of walking is a form of being upright. While not every form of being upright or standing can be considered walking. So therefore there is, it sounds proper in Arabic. In English, that's the best I can do. Not every type of standing can be deemed as a form of walking. But any form of walking is a form of standing because you're upright and standing. So therefore the Shaykh establishes that there is this distinction that is being made. فأخر شيء بنقوله في الأمر الحكم
يجوز أكل ماشيا ولا يجوز واقفا.
Before I stated the issue, I had to make sure. So the Shaykh, I asked him and he says, while walking it is permitted to consume, but while standing and remaining in a state of standing without any movement, you are not permitted to consume any type of food.
Wallahu a'lam.
Wallahu a'lam.
Na. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah.
Maqfu hadith, are they to be considered the statements and words of the tabi'in?
الحديث المقطوع هل نعد روايته أو ما يتكلم به كلامه خاصا يعني كلام التابعي؟
المقطوع هو كلام التابعي أو فعله.
له فقط. The Shaykh mentions that a مقطوع hadith is where the statement or the action or the agreement of the tabi'i, it is his own deed, word or acceptance.
يا شيخ أخبرنا أن أحكام الزيادة من ثقة كلهم مقبول وبعضهم غير مقبول جزاكم الله خير.
Could you repeat that again? I'm sorry.
أخبرنا أن أحكام الزيادة من الثقة زيادة من الثقة كلهم مقبول في ثق وبعضهم غير مقبول.
يعني زيادة الثقة هل نقبل كل زيادة من الثقات أو في بعضها مقبول وبعضها غير مقبول؟
الأصل في زيادة الثقة أنها مقبولة، لكن قد يكون هناك حالات خاصة يعلمها المحدثون الجهابذة الأئمة باستقراء طرق الحديث ورواياته أن هذه الزيادة لا تحتمل، فعندئذ يحكمون عليها بالشذوذ، لأن حال الراوي في حال المروي لا يحتمل، فعندئذ يحكمون على هذه الحال حالات خاصة هذه يعلمها علماء العلل، ليس للمبتدئين أو حتى طلاب العلم الجادين، وهذه لا يعلمها إلا الراسخون الذين أفنوا أعمارهم في تنقيب والتنقير والبحث والتفتيش عن علل الحديث، وعاشوا مع الحديث أناء الليل وأطراف النهار ويتنفسون علم الحديث. هذه حالات خاصة، لأن بعض تعرفون بارك الله فيكم أن علم العلل ليس له قاعدة مضطردة، وإنما هي تجارب لعلماء الحديث يدركون من خلالها العلة. ولذلك قال بعض أهل العلم أن علم العلل كأنه كهانة، يعني كأنه كهانة، تأتي إلى معدن يلمع تنظر إليه أنت تظنه ذهبا، لكن تذهب إلى الصيرفي فيمسك مجرد أن يلمس هذا المعدن يقول هذا مزيف، فكيف عرف هذا الصيرفي أن هذا المعدن مزيف؟ بالخبرة. ولذلك عالم الحديث كالصيرفي الذي يعرف الدرهم المزور من غيره. نعم.
The Sheikh Hafizahullah answers the question, which is, can we accept any ziyada thiqa as being an acceptable ziyada? Can we accept any addition by a thiqa as being acceptable? The Sheikh says the principle of the matter is any ziyada of a thiqa is deemed acceptable except in few rare cases. And these rare cases are uncovered by the scholars based on a great deal of research. And it's not something that is left to the untrained. And it's very rare to find that the ziyada of thiqa is rejected. And when it is rejected for a valid reason. The Sheikh gives us an important statement where he says, the condition of the rawi, of the reporter, at the time of the report is sometimes unknown. And when the conditions become known, then there may be special circumstances that can bring about the lack of acceptance of a ziyada. The Sheikh also said that the scholars of hadith are those who live, eat, breathe the study of hadith. They are immersed in it. And therefore they receive a certain type of intuition where they look and can find through their intuition where the cause of the defect lies. They can soon find where the defect lies. And the Sheikh mentioned the knowledge of hadith, knowledge of the defects of the illah, the knowledge, and this is a subsidiary branch of the study of hadith, knowledge of uncovering defects of reports and reporters is only attained through consistent practice and trial and error. Through consistent practice and trial and error, tajarub. And then the Sheikh went on to say, it's like a person who finds a gem, or he wants to buy a gem, a pearl or a diamond or something. He looks at it and he thinks it's fine, he doesn't see any flaws in it. But when he takes it to a jeweler, and it's his trade, he knows the trade, he knows which gem is good and which gem is bad, just by holding it up in a few seconds, he recognizes the flaws and the defects. And therefore you can state that the scholars of hadith are like the jeweler. They are like those who appraise this jewelry, meaning the words, the statements, and the chains of narrations that support the words and the statements of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
More question on this side, and I'm going to come across to you all, inshallah. Huh? Be patient, yeah? Questions be short.
Now,
when the scholars look into the defects of narrators and so on, what criterion do they use to pinpoint the defect?
The defect of which?
Of narrators. what is the criteria for a thiqah?
What is the criteria for a person being a thiqah? But that's a good question, mashallah. ما هي شروط الثقة؟ يعني كيف نجزم أن هذا الرجل ثقة وهذا غير ثقة؟
ذكرنا في الثقة هو ما كان ضابطا لحفظه متقنا لروايته، ويعرف الثقة بعرض روايته على رواية الثقات، فإن وافقهم فهو ثقة، وإن خالفهم غمز في حفظه، فإن زادت مخالفته للثقات فعندئذ يصبح سيء الحفظ.
The Shaykh حفظه الله answers simply that a person who is thiqa is a person who is precise in his memory. He has a good memory and is precise in his reporting and narrating, meaning that the report that he gives, the report that he states, the words that he states are held and judged in accordance to the words of the strong reporters. We take the words of the strong narrators of hadith, and we know these are established reporters. We have no doubts in their steadfastness, trustworthiness, memory, and so forth. We take this reporter and we compare his narration, his wording, his statements. Are they comparable word for word to that of the established, known, standard word of the strong reporters? If there is a discrepancy between his words and the words of the reporters and their strong narration, then they may degrade his narration from that of being a trusted source of imprecision to that of a person of weaker memory. If it is seen that he is constant in this habit and that there is always discrepancies, then he can become a very weak reporter due to his memory and so forth. Now,
can any of the thiqahs anywhere in the chain make a ziyadat al-thiqah? So someone who's later on.
في أي طبقة من أي طبقة من الرواية من الرواة تكون فيها زيادة ثقة؟ هل في يعني تابعي أو تابع تابعي؟ في أي طبقة؟
كل الطبقة.
كل الطبقة. The زيادة of a ثقة can be in any of the stages or any of the levels of the reporters. There can be a زيادة of a ثقة. I don't know where the microphone is.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. My question is about the definition of the shad and how it relates to the definition of the sahih hadith. Because you said that the sahih hadith should not have any shad attributes or any shadud within it. And then you said that the shad is one where it's a ziyadah of a taqah, which we accept. So if we accept the ziyadah of a taqah and we define the shad by being the ziyadah of a taqah, then how does that relate to the Sahih Hadith's definition? Because we said the Shad is something bad, it should not be there in the Sahih Hadith.
يقول من شروط الحديث الصحيح أن يكون لا يكون فيه شذوذ. وذكرت من زيادة الثقة من الشذوذ.
لا تعد شذوذا. كنا زيادة الثقة لا تعد شذوذا. لأنه ليس فيها مخالفة. إنما فيها زيادة. أثبت ما رواه الثقات وزاد عليهم. ما خالف الثقة ما خالف.
The زيادة of the ثقة is not considered a part of the shudud, although it's placed in the definition there. The reason it is not is because there is no contradiction between the standard. It's an explanatory statement, so it doesn't contradict. And we know from the definition of a shad is that it contradicts the statements of others. This is an addition that is acceptable as an explanatory source. Now.
السلام
عليكم
شيخ. الحديث المنكر هل دائما يكون حديث غريب؟ وإذا وجدت له وإذا وجدت له شواهد هل ممكن أن ترقيه إلى مرتبة الحسن أو لا؟ لو
الحديث المنكر
نعم
الحديث المنكر فيه مخالفة يا أخي، يخالف الثقة الثقات، يخالف الضعيف الثقات، فلا يمكن أن يكون بارك الله فيك حديثا حسنا. نعم.
And the brother is asking regarding to the hadith that is munkar, can it be something, I'm paraphrasing his question, can it, that is what the answer was given, can it be something that can be laid, that can be used as an acceptable narration that can then be a hasan or a sahih hadith? The Sheikh mentioned that the hadith that is munkar, it cannot be ever made or accepted as a hadith that is hasan, because it's a weak narrator. It's a weak... No, Sheikh Abu Ali. Because it is a Sheikh, it is a... Sheikh. Because it is a narration that is...
Sheikh ma la yajuz li ghayrih?
No. Because the narration is a narration of a weak... The hadith that is munkar cannot be assessed as being ever good or acceptable, hasan or sahih, because in it is the narration of a weak person who is contradicting those who are established as strong. And therefore the hadith that is munkar is in it contains the illa, a defect that cannot be upgraded.
آخر سؤال.
Final question.
السلام عليكم يا شيخ.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله.
شيخ ذكرتم في الموقوف أن القول الصحابي وفعله حجة في دين الله ما لم يعلم له مخالف. وعلى سبيل المثال في الأثر الموقوف على عبد الله بن عمر في قضية الوضوء في قضية الجبيرة. هو يرى بالمسح على الجبيرة. كيف بعض العلماء يذهبون لعدم العمل بقوله ما لم يجد
إذا مخالف. صح قول الصحابي أو فعله يكون حجة ما لم يخالف. بارك الله فيك. كما وهذا لا يصح عن ابن عمر رضي الله. نعم.
The question is if a hadith in it that Sheikh was mentioning that there are certain ahadith that can be used as a proof. The statement of a sahabi can be used as a hujjah if it is a unanimously agreed upon statement, or if it's an individual statement of a sahabi that is not opposed by other sahaba, as we have established already from the mawquf narration. The brother then put forward a question where he asks, if there is a statement that Abdullah ibn Umar, for example, he used to wipe on atop of the cast, can we then use this as being a proof that we are allowed to wipe over the calf? The chef says, if the narration is established and there is no opposition to walk against it, it can be used as a proof, and the chef suspects that maybe the narration is not full in authenticity and so forth. So that it can be used as a proof if it is deemed authentic and it is not opposed by other narrations.
سبحانك الله وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، فاليوم نتكلم إن شاء الله عن بقية أقسام أو بعض الأقسام التي نختم بها هذه الدورة المباركة إن شاء الله. الغريب هو ضد المشهور. هذا تقسيم لحديث الآحاد من حيث عدد رواته، لأن هذا التقسيم غريب عزيز مشهور. تقسيم للآحاد من حيث عدد رواته. طبعا الحديث النبوي والسنة تقسم إلى قسمين، القسم الأول المتواتر،
والمتواتر هو ما رواه الكافة أو عدد يؤمن تواطؤهم على الكذب عن مثلهم إلى منتهى السند في كل طبقات السند. يعني متواتر رواية الجماعة عن الجماعة عن الجماعة إلى منتهى الإسناد في جميع طبقات السند، هذا يسمونه المتواتر. وهذا الحديث المتواتر حديث صحيح يفيد القطع، نجزم بنسبته إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، ولا يخضع لهذه المصطلحات غريب ومشهور وصحيح وحسن. مجرد الحكم على الحديث بأنه متواتر يعني القطع بنسبته إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. الآحاد ثلاثة أنواع من حيث عدد الرواة: الغريب، الغريب هو ما تفرد بروايته صحابي، مثل حديث إنما الأعمال بالنيات، حديث صحيح لكنه إيش؟ غريب، لأنه لم يصح إلا من حديث عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه، فهو حديث صحيح غريب. إنما الأعمال بالنيات حديث صحيح غريب. إذن الغريب ما رواه واحد. يأتي بعده العزيز ما رواه اثنان. المشهور ما رواه ثلاثة فأكثر ولم يصلوا إلى حد المتواتر. إذن الغريب ما رواه واحد، العزيز ما رواه اثنان، المشهور ما رواه أكثر من اثنين ثلاثة فأكثر ولكن لم يصل إلى حد المتواتر. تفضل.
أكتب عنهم.
تفضل. أكتب لك.
نعم.
أكتب لك.
يكون أحسن.
ثم تذكر. السنة النبوية تقسم إلى قسمين: متواتر ما رواه جمع عن جمع يؤمن تواطؤهم على الكذب في جميع طبقات السند. يعني لو كان في البداية مثلا غريب ثم تواتر بعد حديث إنما الأعمال بالنيات بعد عمر بن الخطاب تواتر، لكن ما نسميه متواتر لأنه رواه واحد. الآحاد يعني الذي ليس بمتواتر يقسم إلى ثلاثة أقسام: غريب ما رواه واحد مثل عمر بن الخطاب عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما الأعمال بالنيات، ما رواه اثنان عزيز، ما رواه اثنان فأكثر مشهور لكن هذا العدد المشهور لم يصل إلى حد المتواتر، لم يصل إلى حد المتواتر.
The Shaykh Hafidhahullah began by mentioning that a sunnah, it is the authentically reported statement, or the sunnah, even the whole general understanding of the narrations of the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whether authentic or not, is broken down into two sections. The way they are reported, this classification is based on the multitude of reporters. It's not a classification of authenticity in general. The first part, where there is no doubt in authenticity here. The mutawatir hadith, we are certain of its establishment as being the word of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam for an easy and specific reason. The mutawatir hadith is a hadith where a large group of people report the same hadith from one generation to the other. Each group of people, each tabaqa in each of the successive generations, narrates the same narration. So it is that there is a large number of sahaba who narrate the hadith. This is one level. It is taken from them by another large number of tabi'een. And that is taken by a large number of the tabi'een. And it continues in this form where it's a large number, all reporting the same hadith. It's a large number of people, of the Sahaba, reporting those who take it from them is also a large number of tabi'een, also a large number of tabi'een. They all are reporting from each other, and this type of hadith continues in this form. Large group over large group over large group. The Shaykh gives a more precise definition by saying, what does he mean by a large group? Meaning that they are such a vast and spread out group that there is no way those on one side, on one end, could have met those on the other end, and both of them came together and lied and met and made the same equal exact statement. So because they're so far and so widespread and there's so many people, it is something that is inconceivable that they all gathered in this large level here, and large level here, and large level here, and large level under them, all of them came and conspired together to lie about the Messenger ﷺ. So this hadith is a hadith that is completely accepted and agreed upon its authenticity. The second type of hadith is the hadith that is deemed or titled Al-Ahad. And this type of hadith, this Ahad hadith, is a hadith that is not mutawatir. And there are three levels of Ahad, meaning singular narrations, where there are few reporters who are reporting from the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The first type of hadith that is Ahad is the hadith that is Ghareeb, meaning a scarce. It's something that's scarce. It's a scarce hadith. This does not mean that a scarce hadith is a weak hadith. In fact, all it means is that the reporter is one person, the one reporting directly from the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There's only one Sahabi who narrates this hadith. The Shaykh gives us a vivid example of an authentic Ghareeb hadith. And do not confuse this word Ghareeb with the Ghareeb that we were discussing with Tirmidhi. This is different. This is a different type of Ghareeb. That Ghareeb is based only on the books of Tirmidhi. This Ghareeb is on the whole scheme, on the whole scheme of the sciences of hadith. This Ghareeb, a scarce hadith, is what one reporter reported from the Messenger of Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, such as the authentic hadith wherein Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he said, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ. Surely actions are judged by their intention. Although after Umar, the condition of mutawatir is met, meaning from Umar there's a large group of tabi'een and a large group of tabi'een who narrate this hadith, but the origin leading from the Messenger ﷺ is deemed scarce. It is only that one sahabi radiallahu anhu arda. The second category is a hadith that is aziz. A hadith that is aziz is a hadith that is that has two reporters reporting from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are two reporters that are reporting a hadith. Gharib is one reporter. Two reporters. A hadith that is mashhoor or becoming famous. A hadith that is mashhoor is a hadith that has two or more, has more than two, is a hadith that has two or more reporters, but it does not reach the level of mutawatir, meaning that there may be two, three, or four reporters, but it doesn't meet the same condition of continuous, large, vast numbers of people narrating the hadith. إلى حد تواتر does not reach the level of mutawatir. It could be more than two. هو يسأل في الطبقات هل لازم يكون في الطبقة الأولى بس. When we are discussing the ahad, it is only in the first tabaqa, in the first narrators, meaning those who are narrating from the Rasul
صلى الله عليه وسلم. وهذا الأقسام هذه الثلاثة ممكن تكون صحيحة ممكن تكون ضعيفة ممكن تكون غير ذلك.
This group of narration, the ahad narration, can be صحيح or ضعيف, or they can also be حسن and so forth, and all of the different conditions حسن لغيره and things of this nature. As for the متواتر hadith, it is only صحيح, it is acceptable.
صحيح يعني ليس لا يظن صحيح أنه مثل حديث الأحاد.
نعم.
لا نقول مجزوم بنسبته إلى الرسول.
نعم. It is صحيح and it is, we establish it with certainty. So it is certain and assured as a صحيح.
يعني مقطوع بنسبته إلى الرسول.
نعم.
أو يذكر عشان هنا اثنان فأكثر. إن كان اثنان فقط ألا يعد عزيزا؟
اثنان فأكثر. So the Sheikh is mentioning two or more is deemed مشهور.
يعني أكثر.
More than two is deemed a مشهور حديث. If it is isolated to be just two, then it is deemed as a عزيز حديث. نعم. طيب once again the غريب hadith, there is one reporter, meaning that is Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, and also only one صحابي. The aziz hadith is the Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم and two صحابه. The مشهور hadith is the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم and three or two or more صحابه. The متواتر is the Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم and you have large number. There is no specific number, but it is accepted as a large number. This is the first tabaqa. Then each of these has its own, and there is a large, and so forth it continues.
لا طبقة الأولى طبقة الصحابة.
نعم.
بس في طبقة الصحابة هذه أوصاف لطبقة الصحابة فقط. ممكن يكون صحيح، ممكن يكون ضعيف، ممكن يكون حسن، ممكن يكون موضوع. يعني مثلا واحد هذا غريب مثل حديث عمر، بعد عمر رواه عن عمر يمكن 6، بعد هؤلاء يمكن 7 حتى وصل إلى 800. ما بنقول لما وصل 800 متواتر، لا، أصله إيش؟ أحد، أصله أحد. لا، الأحاد ضد المتواتر، مش ضده، عكسه. والأحاد عكس المتواتر، واضح؟ نعم. يعني 3-4 لكن لم يصل عددهم إلى حد المتواتر، يعني صار 20 بصير متواتر، 15 متواتر. لأنه حد التواتر اختلف فيه العلماء، قالوا 10، قالوا 20، قالوا أكثر، فيه اختلاف، لكن اتفقوا على أن الجمع يؤمن تواطؤهم على الكذب.
The Sheikh is mentioning that the mutawatir, there's no specific number, so we cannot say it's 10 or 20. The scholars haven't unanimously agreed, but they agree it's a large group. Based on that, it is a large group who is reported from a large group, who others of a large group report from them. So that's the understanding. If you can look, if just one Sahabi, he also has a large group reporting from him, that shows you that there can be multitudes of chains. The Sheikh was mentioning the Gharib Hadith, the Hadith of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. It begins as a singular, but a little bit further down, it reaches 800 people report the Hadith, right? But the origin is it's ahad, it is a scarce hadith, because it is only one reporter. هل ممكن حديث متواتر ينقلب إلى أحد في الطبقات ال in the bottom طبقات no the hadith that is ahad the متواتر does not change cannot change to أحد.
المتواتر نو المتواتر مقطوع النسبة إلى رسول الله.
A متواتر حديث you are certain that the رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم said it, so there doesn't need any proofs. It's a hadith that has all these people reporting it.
صحيحنا بمعنى اللغوي لا الاصطلاح. صحيحنا بمعنى اللغوي صحيح في ذا في نفس الأمر. مقطوع النسبة إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
It is something that you can, even in the linguistic sense, you understand that it is sahih, it is established, it is known, it is an authentic statement. No doubt that a mutawatir hadith is the term and the statement of the Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم.
نعم متواتر. نعم. كل المسلمين رووا قرأوا ملايين.
And
صحابة 100,000 الطبقة الأولى متواتر طبق الصحابة كلهم قرأوا
regarding the Quran
وأجمعوا على ما بين الدفتين متواتر اللفظ. نعم.
The Shaykh حفظه الله was asked by the brother about the Quran and that the Quran is only narrated it's narrated through us through mutawatir chains, meaning the Sahaba, all of them report the same thing, and those who report from them all report the same thing in such large numbers, and they reach the level of millions and multitudes of people.
أحبائي كما قلت نريد أن نقف على تعريف المصطلحات.
نعم.
لا نريد التفريعات الآن لألا تختلط المعلومات في الذهن. تفريق المعلومات وبناءها على بعض إن شاء الله والأيام قادمة إن شاء الله صلى الله أن يكسب الاستمرار لهذه الدورة. ليس في هذه الدورة نستطيع أن نحصل على كل العلم، نحصل على بعض العلم، ولذلك لا بد من المتابعة، لا بد من المتابعة في الأيام القادمة إن شاء الله. ولا يأخذ أحدكم الدورة يقول خلاص صرت عالم طالب علم، لا، هذا مثل العصفور يأتي للبحر يشرب منه، ماذا حصل؟ قليل، لكن هذه الشربة من البحر تذيقك طعم العلم. فكيف وجدتم طعم العلم؟
لذيذ.
نعم اسمه فيري سويت.
ها
الآن المسلسل
أعطيهم الكلمة. The chef was mentioning that we do not wish to get into the branches of each of these because it's a science that you it's very technical and it's very wide and encompassing. It's not something that you're going to gather all the information in one session, one seminar or something of this nature. So the Shaykh is saying we're laying the foundations, we're learning the mustalahat, the terminology, the nomenclature, we're learning these things so that we can have it and that we can write it and we can understand it and build upon it later. So the Shaykh is saying these are things that it's like a bird who takes a sip from the ocean. The ocean doesn't diminish in its size, but the bird gets a taste of the knowledge. So how do you like the taste? So the chef said, very sweet, mashallah.
الآن الحديث المسلسل. الحديث المسلسل يقول الإمام الذهبي هو ما كان سنده على صفة واحدة في طبقاته كما سلسلة بسمعت أو سلسلة بالأولية إلى سفيان أو سلسلة مثلا بقراءة سورة الصف أو سلسلة بالمحبة أو سلسلة بأن رواته دمشقيون أو مصريون وهكذا، يعني تكررت الصفة في كل طبقات السند. واضح؟ كل راوي يقول سمعته، حدثني لا سمعت فلان، قال سمعت فلان، قال سمعت فلان إلى نهاية السند، فهذا يسموه مسلسل بسمعت. حدثني فلان وكان أول ما حدثني الراحمون يرحمهم الرحمن، ارحموا من في الأرض يرحمكم من في السماء. مسلسل بالأولية أي أول حديث سمعه من شيخه، حديث مسلسل مثلا بالدمشقيين، كل رواة دمشقيون، مثل حديث يا عباد إني حرمت الظلم على نفسي وجعلته بينكم محرما، حديث أبي ذر في المسلم، مسلسل بالدمشقيين، حديث مسلسل بالمصريين مثل حديث البطاقة، وهو حديث أن الله سبحانه وتعالى يأتي بعبد له ذنوب كثيرة فيقول ولا يخرج له 99 سجلا كلها ذنوب، ثم يقول هل لك عندنا حسنة؟ يقول لا، فتخرج بطاقة مكتوب عليها لا إله إلا الله. هذا الحديث حديث البطاقة يسمى مسلسل بالمصريين، أي أن جميع رواته مصريون وهكذا. نعم.
The Sheikh حفظه الله now began another chapter with us. Those of you who have the book, we're on page 180, where we are discussing chapter 16, the hadith that is musalsal, meaning the hadith that is chained, or the chains, the type of chains of hadith. Here are the linkages of hadith, the linkages, how hadith are linked. The hadith that is musalsal is a hadith whose all the reporters give the same mode of transmission, leading all the way back to the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They all report in the same form, leading all the way back to the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So it's a uniformly linked hadith where the reporters transmit in the same form or using the same words to introduce the hadith or the same way of mentioning the hadith. And the Shaykh Hafizahullah gave us examples, meaning that there's one form, it is the musalsal, it is the chain or the linked hadith, where each person in the chain of hadith recited surah as-saff, or the hadith where each person expressed his love for the narrator whom he is reporting from, of mahabba, or there are linked
mahabba, hadith al-mahabba. يا معاذ إني أحبك، هذا مسلسل المحبة. كل راوي قال لتلميذه إني أحبك.
The hadith of Mahabba is that the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to Mu'adh, O Muaz, surely I love you. And then therefore when Muaz narrated the hadith to the person after him, he said, surely I love you. And the person who was after him said, surely I love you, to his student. And the whole chain had that same wording. Also we see that there are other chains that are the chains of Egyptians. Everyone in the chain of narration is an Egyptian. Or the hadith of al-Dimashqiyin, the people who narrate the hadith, they're all from Damascus. Or the hadith of Sami'atu, every person in the chain of narration says, I heard from such and such. And then the person who he narrates from says, and I heard from such and such. Also, there is the chains of al-awwaliyya, where it is the first hadith that the person narrated from that source. So he says, this is the first hadith I heard from him. أول حديث. It is the first hadith that I heard from him. The next person who narrates from him, he says, and this was the first hadith I heard from him. And the next person says, this is the first hadith I heard from him.
فهو حديث الراحمون يرحمهم.
And that hadith is the hadith of الراحمون يرحمهم الرحمن. Be merciful and clement to those who are on the earth with you, and the one who is above the heavens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shall be merciful to you. And that is musalsal bil-awwaliyya, the musalsal of the first narration. It is the first narration I heard from him. The next one said, it is the first narration I heard from him. Also the hadith that is reported from al-Dimashqiyin, everyone in the chain of narration was from Damascus, such as the hadith, Ya Ibadi, O my servants. It is the hadith where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I have prohibited oppression upon me, so therefore you do not oppress one another. And so forth. Also the hadith, Al-Bitaqa. The hadith of Al-Bitaqa, the Shaykh Hafidhahullah also mentioned the hadith of Al-Bitaqa, the hadith of the scrolls. The cards and the scrolls. We will finding the hadith inshaAllah. We will come to it. نعم إيش 190 نعم in it the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is the hadith that is reported by the Egyptian reporters المصريين نعم that hadith is it's an important hadith that the Shaykh mentioned to us, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall give freedom of a person from the ummah of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he shall bring that person in front of all of the rest of humanity on the Day of Judgment. And that person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shall unroll for him and unscroll for him, shall give him 99 scrolls. Each scroll, it is as far as the eyesight can see. That person on the Day of Judgment, he'll be taken from the ummah of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa and shall stand in front of the rest of humanity. And Allah shall bring 99 scrolls in front of this individual, and they shall be unrolled in front of him. Each one of these scrolls is as far as the eye, as the sight can see. Then it shall be said, ثُمَّ يَقُولْ, do you deny any of the deeds that are reported here that you have performed? Have my scribes, meaning the angels, oppressed you? كَتَبَتِي الْحَافِظِينَ, the scribes who are do not make errors and who record everything, have they oppressed you? Have they added something that shouldn't be there? Have they taken out something? فَيَقُولْ لَا يَا رَبْ, no, oh my Lord, everything there is not, there's no oppression. So then it will be said, do you have an excuse? Do you have a udhr for something of this nature? He shall say, no, oh my Lord, there is nothing that I can have as an excuse to state why I committed these deeds. Then it shall be said, بَلَا, surely here there are hasanat, there is a hasana that you have, and there is no ظلم اليوم, there shall be no oppression upon you today, meaning the good deeds, they will be counted. And there shall be a bitaqa, meaning like a passport or a card or something that is given to him فيها that in it is inscribed أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. That is the حسنة. That is the good thing that shall be given to this individual. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. And that person, it shall be said, bring forth the weighing for this person. And it will be that this bitaqa, this passport, this statement of La ilaha illallah Muhammadun Rasulullah shall be placed, this statement, the person shall say, "What ihdir waznak," bring forth the weighing, and it shall be said, what is this bitaqa and what are these, what is this passport and what are these scrolls? And then it shall be said, you shall not be oppressed. And then the scroll shall be placed in one side of the scale, the mizan. And on the other side, this bitaqa, the statement of La ilaha illallah, and the shahada of Muhammadun Rasulullah, shall be placed on the other side, and the scale that contains, the side that contains the statement of La ilaha illallah, shall outweigh the deeds, the evil deeds of the other. ثَقُلَتَ الْبِطَاقَةَ The bitaqa, the statement, the testimony of faith, shall overweigh and shall weigh more than all of the evil deeds that were 99 scrolls that are as far as a person can see. And then it will be فَلَا يَفْقَلْ There is nothing that can outweigh the word مَعَ إِسْمِ اللَّهِ شَيْءٍ Nothing can overweigh the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any shape, way or form. And this hadith, it is a hadith that in its chain, this hadith of al-bitaqa, it is reported by all of the reporters were Egyptians. Those after the companion who reports the hadith. All of it is taken from them, from the narrations of the Egyptians.
Hadith al-musalsal,
no. Do you understand the musalsal? The hadith that is musalsal.
Awwaliyya. أولية يعني أول حديث سمعه مسلسل.
The مسلسل it is a hadith where every person here is A, B, C, D. They're all reporters. This person he narrates from C and he says سمعت I heard. When this person reports from him, he says the same statement, I heard. When he is reporting from him, he says, I heard. So this is مسلسل سمعت, I heard from him. Or, you can see another example, where this person, another type, this person, you see that he says the first hadith
al-awwaliyya
he says the first hadith he says The first hadith. Is that clear?
The first hadith from the Sahaba, the Sahaba.
أول حديث من الرسول. تابع أول حديث من الصحابي. تابع تابع أول حديث من تابع.
نعم.
نعم.
هو سؤاله. هل كلمة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مثلا النبي لا لم يقل سمعته فهو من يبدأ من عند الصحابي so the statement the originating statement is the statement of the صحابي not the word that Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم doesn't say I heard
no,
but that's what the Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم he it originates from him what is the question
the first hadith yeah
نعم
is that phrase paraphrase that each person in the chain
هل تعد هذه الكلمة من الإسناد أو من الرواية
صفة للإسناد
نعم صفة It is a description of the isnad and it's not a part of the isnad.
فالمسلسل صفة للإسناد يعني مسلسل بهيئة معينة.
That's a very good question.
واضح؟
Description.
واضح ولا مش واضح؟
Of the إسناد. It's not a part of the إسناد but it's something that describes the type of إسناد. نعم. Yes. Yes. Each sheikh is saying I heard from. So he says I heard from C, and he says I heard from.
No, about the
يعني هل كلمة الأولوية يقول الصحابي هذا أول حديث
سمعته من الرسول الله يجي التابع يقول هذا أول حديث سمعته من الصحابي أول حديث سمعته من فلان أول حديث سمعته من فلان سلسل كل هذه الصفة موجودة في السند أول حديث سمعته أول حديث سمعته أول حديث سمعته فقال العلماء هذا حديث مسلسل بالأولية أول حديث أولية شو معناها أول حديث
يمكن مسلسل بالضحك يبين الأمر شوية
نعم نعطيكم نجيب نعم. نجيب لهم كم واحد
The chef says he'll bring up some of you so that he will demonstrate it for you so that you can see it Which section? Yeah, what he is saying is exactly what we were putting. This person D said, "This is the first hadith I heard from C, the person preceding me." C says, "This is the first hadith I heard from B." And Naam, the first hadith. And B is he says the first hadith I heard from A.
أريد أربعة يتكلمون اللغة العربية.
The Sheikh needs four who can speak the Arabic language.
يتكلمون اللغة العربية.
You have نعم. تفضل يا شيخ. تفضل الشيخ سليم.
هؤلاء الأربعة رجال السند.
These four represent the men of the chain.
تبدأ من الصحابة، تابعين، تابع التابعين، ثم من بعده. الآن هذا من نمثل على حديث مسلسل بالضحك مثلاً. هذا يسمع الحديث يقول سمعت الحديث من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وضحك. الآن هذا لما يحدث تلميذه التابعي يضحك وهذا كل لأول ما سمعته ضحك وهكذا قل أنت أنا أول ما سمعت الحديث من رسول الله ضحك
أول ما سمعت الحديث من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ضحك وأول ما سمعت الحديث من الصحابة من الصحابي ضحك أول ما سمعت الحديث من التابعي ضحك
Or
no. This is called the hadith. It is linked with the chain of laughter. The Sahabi says, "This is the first hadith. This is the hadith I heard from the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and in it he laughed. So when he passes it on, he says to the next person. The next person says, "This is the hadith I heard from the Sahabi, and in it he laughed." And the next one, he says, this is the hadith I heard from the tabi'i, and in it he laughed.
ممكن يكون هذا الصحابي مصري يعني سكن في مصر تابعي مصري تابع تابعي مصري الآخر مصري وهكذا فنقول مسلسل للمصري مثل حديث ايش
البطاقة
حديث ايش البطاقة نعم
Now the Sheikh gives you the example of the hadith that we recited to you, the hadith of Bitaqa, of this passport. The Sheikh mentions each of these, we'll pretend each of these four resided in Egypt. They lived in Egypt, so therefore all of them, the link, the thing that they have unanimously possess, the same thing that they all possess, is that they are all residents of Egypt. such as the hadith of Bitaqa. So he is a person who they will say, he was from Egypt, he was from Egypt, he was from Egypt, he was from Egypt. The whole chain of narration, that it is narrated through people of Egyptian residency. They all resided in Egypt. And that's the hadith of Al-Bitaqa, the passport. Waldeh, is it clear?
وأغلب المسلسلات ضعيف
صحيح؟
المسلسلات ليس ضعيفة في ذاتها وإنما ضعيفة في صفة التسلسل
صفة التسلسل. The chef man, the brother was asking, with this type of chain, does that mean that this type of hadith is stronger than other types of hadith? The Shaykh says no. In fact, you will notice that the musalsal, many of them, or the majority of them, they are weak narrations. And the weakness at times is even attributed to how the description of the tasalsal, the description of the linkage of the chain. Most of the time. And therefore you must learn the Arabic language.
Not laughing, smile.
Yes, we just mentioned that. No. It doesn't have to be.
الآن الحديث المعنعن. الحديث المعنعن هو أن يقول الراوي مثلا مالك عن نافع عن ابن عمر عن رسول الله. ايش اللي تكرر في السند؟ عن، فيقال معنعن. نعم.
The Shaykh Hafidhahullah now is going to discuss the hadith that is called Mu'an'an, where the word An is used in by each successive person. So it'll be Malik An Nafi' An Umar. That keyword An Ibn Umar. That keyword An Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That keyword from or An or on the authority of. So it is the hadith that is on the authority of or An. On the authority of or upon the authority of, that is the hadith that is deemed mu'an'an. Each of them will recite that word.
يذكر في الحديث المعنعن الإمام البخاري والإمام مسلم.
In the hadith that is mu'an'an, the mention of Imam al-Bukhari and the mention of Imam Muslim and the recording of it is also known.
الإمام البخاري قال لابد للراوي أن يعاصر شيخه ويسمع منه. المعاصرة أن يعيش في زمن واحد، والسماع هو أن يلتقي به. هذا هو شرط البخاري.
الإمام البخاري, his description of the Mu'an'an hadith is that the reporters, those who are reporting from one another, they are the reporters who are reporting from one another, they are those who resided and lived during the same time period, and it is established and known that they met. They lived in the same time period and they met. That is the condition of acceptability of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari. They lived during the same time and that they met one another. It's established that they actually did meet.
شرط البخاري
and that is the شرط
واللقاء.
That is the شرط of Imam al-Bukhari, that they reside the same time period and that they do meet one another.
الإمام مسلم قال يكفي المعاصرة أن يعيشوا في وقت واحد.
الإمام مسلم, his degree of acceptability is that they actually just reside during the same time.
وألا يكون الراوي مدلسا.
And that the reporter of the hadith is not mudallis. He's not a person who performs tadlis, which we will describe soon, inshallah.
نعم معنى. فاختلف العلماء في تقديم شرط البخاري أم شرط مسلم.
The scholars differed as to what is to be put forward as the standard, that of Bukhari or that of an Imam Muslim.
والصحيح كما ذكرنا أن شرط البخاري لكمال الصحة.
تفضل. And we've stated before that the shart of Imam Bukhari, the condition of Imam Bukhari, is for the perfection and the completion of the authenticity. While the condition of Imam Muslim is to establish the authenticity. And as such, you see that the shart, the condition of Imam Bukhari, is stronger and more authoritative. But do you see the point of difference between that of Imam al-Bukhari being not one of acceptability but being that of perfection, while Imam Muslim, his shart is of acceptability?
وشرط مسلم هو للصحة وعليه جماهير أهل العلم.
The shart of Imam Muslim is that of acceptability, of authenticity, and upon his standard, that standard is the known standard of the majority of the scholars and the people of knowledge. They accept his standard as the condition of authenticity.
No. إيش أنا فقد؟ بكون منقطع.
The hadith that does not meet the condition of Bukhari or Muslim is deemed the hadith that is munqata, or it is a severed or broken chain.
كل راوي يكون عن الشيخ هي عن مالك عن نافع عن ابن عمر عن رسول الله بين كل راوي وراوي عن لا فش كيف نقول يعني مالك نافع ابن عمر هكذا لا المسلسل ولا نعم ممكن يكون بين نافع وابن عمر سمعت لكن مالك عن نافع عن ممكن ممكن حديث معنا عن سمع أحسنت ولكن لا يقتضي اللقية لا يقتضي مثلا إثبات اللقية المعاصرة مظنة اللقاء أليس كذلك السماع يقتضي المعاصرة ولكن المعاصرة لا تقتضي السماع يعني هو الإمام البخاري قال لابد أن أعيش في وقت واحد ها ويثبت لقائهم ليس كل حديث يثبت لقائه فيه أنه التقى به
نعم
واضح واحد عايش في استراليا واحد عايش في أمريكا عايشين في نفس الوقت لكن ما ثبت لقائهم فكيف روى عن هذا عن هذا فهذا بكون منقطع وليس منقطع وإذا قال الذي في أمريكا حدثنا اللي في أستراليا بكون كذاب إلا أن يكون حدثه بواسطة الهاتف بس ما كان في عهدهم هواتف ها؟ لك رأيك بس هذا لتأكيد العام الخاص أنت تتكلم اللغة العربية تتكلم اللغة العربية تعرف العام ثم الخاص نعم
يخفي.
تنزل الملائكة والروح الملائكة عام والروح إيش
خاص
نعم.
The Sheikh حفظه الله, the brother was asking regarding whether hearing a person hearing from another, whether living at the same time is sufficient to establish that the hadith is reported from one another, a direct chain. The Sheikh mentioned that we establish if a person hears from another, that means they were living at the same time, unless he's lying. Or we cannot establish that a person living at the same time necessarily means that that person heard from the other. The Sheikh gives an example: someone living in Australia and someone living in America. They are living in the same time period. That doesn't mean that they both, that one of them narrates from the other, unless it's proven that they have done so, which is the condition of al-Imam al-Bukhari. So if the one in America, the one in Australia, one of them says, I heard this statement from him, and it's not proven that they ever met each other or anything of this nature, and the brother was saying, therefore can we establish that the liqa, that the meeting is something that is of a valid nature to accept their transmissions from each other, the Sheikh says yes. At the same time, no. If they meet, then that is acceptable. The Sheikh says, but if one of them says, I heard, then he is lying, unless it's proven that he heard through the telephone, which at their times, they didn't have these things. So therefore, it's something that would not be substantiated. It's not something that would be deemed a broken chain, because there's no establishment that these two actually met and corresponded, or unless it is proven that they were doing so. So hearing establishes that they were living at the same time, but living at the same time doesn't mean that they heard from one another and can transmit from one another. Could I? Al-Imam al-Bukhari, his condition is that they reside at the same time, they're living at the same time, and you establish that they actually met. That they met. There was this iltiqat, that they met with each other, and that they were alive during the same time period. I didn't understand the question.